JD and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
Set to hook up with Russell Baxter, our progressive guest line. Progressive Insurance, round out your protection with life, phone, and pet health insurance. NFL analyst to go over games in the National Football League. There was a lot of good. There were some not so good. The Arizona Cardinals had like 58 yards of total offense. I'll get to that thought in a minute because Josh Dobbs, who played for Arizona before being traded to Minnesota, was fantastic coming off the bench for Jaren Hall, who was injured. And in a guy that just barely got there and barely knew anybody, and they're working on cadence on the sidelines because he was like, I'm in case of emergency break glass kind of guy, had to go in there and rally the Vikings to a victory. And he did in a back and forth game against the Atlanta Falcons in which they won 31-28 and had a touchdown at the end. And now the Vikings are 5-4. So we'll get to that and a lot of other things from NFL analyst Russell Baxter. He joins us on a progressive guest line. How are you, Russell?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
Good. All right. I might as well stay with this. Josh Dobbs, this is like team five in a calendar year. How do you make of a guy that can go that quickly to a team and be performance? It must take a rocket scientist, which Josh Dobbs is.
Well, the fact that he's had to jet around to all these different places, I think the rocket science part comes in very handy.
Well played. Well played, Russell. Well played.
Hey, I do my best, I'm not just joshing you either. So
nice.
There we go. Can I leave now? I mean, I guess I'm done.
Yeah.
Well, you know, listen. In this day and age, and you know, I saw the thing of Dobbs coming into the Vikings locker room and the appreciation they have for that young man. I think he's a guy who. You know, when the Steelers drafted him, they still had Ben Roethlisberger, and it was hard for him to crack a starting lineup. And the Steelers opted to trade him to Jacksonville because I think they knew there was something there, and so did the Jaguars. And the Jaguars were willing enough to give a draft pick to get him. I think that's very, very significant. You know, he was also dealt, you know, was it last year or earlier this year?
Yeah.
When the Cardinals obtained him. So teams are trading for him and giving up picks, knowing that there is something there. And, you know, when the Vikings lost Kirk Cousins, they wasted little time getting Dobbs and so on. And, you know, he comes into the game, and they're already going through a quarterback change. He comes into the game. He does it with his legs. You know, he fumbled three times and lost two of them, but he held his poise. And took them right down the field after Atlanta had taken the lead. I mean, it's such a fantastic story.
It really is. Really is.
Season alone. I mean, he was, you know, he winds up in Arizona. You know, arguably the worst team in the league. You know, but has played well. You know, I think he had a rough day against Cincinnati, if I remember right. You know, he's not that he's not turnover prone, but I mean, you know, he's got a stacked deck against him. I mean, a lot of people were accusing the Cardinals of kind of giving up on the season, which has hardly been the case. They've actually been competitive more times than not, although yesterday.
Not so
you know,
much. Yeah.
Well, I'll give you a stat from yesterday. It might blow your mind.
Mm-hmm.
The Cardinals had 58 yards of total offense. In the first quarter, Amari Cooper caught a 59-yard pass from Deshaun Watson.
What was it, a monsoon? I mean, how do you get 58 yards in an NFL game? In all seriousness, I mean, you can have Chattanooga play Georgia and they'd get more than 58 yards in a game.
I'll give you one better, okay? And you can check this because I'm doing this off the top of my head. The first year the Houston Texans were in existence, they played the Steelers at Pittsburgh. Okay?
Right.
They gained 47 total yards. But thanks to their defense and special teams, they won the game 24-6.
Oh, yes. I do remember this. Yeah. That's crazy. See,
that's crazy. That's the beauty of football.
Yep.
You know, I know people like to push the narrative of it's all about the quarterback, and it's not. There are so many different ways to win. I think that's the fun of the game. To get the ball isn't round. You can score on defense. You can score on special teams. Your offense can score for the other team. So look what happened to the Panthers yesterday. You know, Bryce Young threw two touchdown passes. Unfortunately, they were at Kenny Moore. who had 115 yards in interception return, 49-66. And I always go back to, and I've heard Eric Mangini talk about this because he was with the team. When the Patriots won their first Super Bowl, I know Tom Brady got a lot of credit, and understandably so, but their offense scored 3 touchdowns in 3 playoff games.
Yeah.
Their defense scored 3 touchdowns, and special teams scored 3 touchdowns in 3 playoff games. And Tom Brady was only around for 2 of the offensive touchdowns because he got hurt in the AFC title game, and Bledsoe came in and threw a touchdown.
Right.
So that's the beauty of football. There are a lot of different ways you can do it. But like I said, Josh Dobbs, my goodness, you know, got to be a comeback player of the year candidate in there somewhere.
Got to be.
Because he keeps on coming back to a different team this year.
Speaking of teams, that if you had this scale, Russell, and you had, and it was fine-tuned, where would you lean towards the success of the Ravens? Because Lamar Jackson is playing like an MVP, but the defense is outstanding. Where do you lean in how the Baltimore Ravens are successful?
They have gained 500-plus yards in 2 of their last 3 games. I think their pass rush has been deceptive. You know, it was a team that really relied offensively the last couple of years, not to say their defense wasn't good, but this has been a kind of a notch above. And I think one of the guys who has come in here and contributed here has been a big factor, is a player that I always had a great respect for. He's bounced around the league in recent years, but Kyle Van Noy always seems to find a good team. I remember when the Lions traded him to New England, he was part of Super Bowl teams there and so on. And he's a guy who can rush the passer, drop in coverage, play on special teams. He's just a good overall football player, and he's been a big part of their pass rush and so on. You look at and you know what's funny is Lamar Jackson has been at times a little careless with the football. It's not so much the interceptions, it's been the fumbles. You know, he's lost his share of fumbles this year. But as we're seeing around the league with the quarterbacks who run a lot and throw a lot, they are more prone to fumbles and turnovers. And because they're so talented, a lot of them, you know, like Jalen Hurts, like Jackson, are able to overcome them.
I want to ask you about the Dallas Cowboys only in this regard. The mistakes at the end, the false start, the allowing of the sack, the delay of game. These are the things, I mean, again, every team kind of has these problems, but for Dallas, it's going to be something that people are going to say championship teams don't do. Do you buy that? Does what happened at the end of that game make you less believable in Dallas because this is something Dallas just does?
Well, and honestly, it's unfortunate because, I mean, you can make a case that was easily Dak Prescott's best
absolutely
game of the year, and I don't mean that just because he threw for a lot of yards, but they self-destructed not once but twice. They gave up 3 sacks in the final 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And he moved the football against Philadelphia effortlessly through the air, which, you know, I know Philly hasn't been the same pass defense as it has in recent years, but and has really struggled against it, which is why they went out and got Kevin Byard, who unfortunately contributed with a personal foul penalty late in the game. Dallas. And you know, after Philly went down there and Dallas barely had any time left, they still managed to get down the field. So these are the kind of mistakes in the fourth quarter or any time late in the game when you get in the red zone. Forget contending. It's the kind of stuff that costs you playoff games, not executing. We don't have to go back too far to, you know, the kind of debacle with Prescott against the 49ers in the playoffs as well. It's eerily reminiscent of that, you know. But that being said, I always have to look at Dallas's defense, which is a high-speed defense and can rush the passer. But in 3 games this year, they've given up – in their 3 losses this year, I should say, they've given up at least 28 points in every game.
Russell Baxter, always good talking to you, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on a busy Monday.
Next time I talk to you, Josh Dobbs will be where?
Right. Good question. We'll play it with a little Josh Dobbs lottery. Good stuff, my man. Thank you so much. Russell Baxter joining us on our Progressive Guest Line. Yeah, and he's right. I mean, look at Dallas. I mean, you know, it's they are an enigma. They're right there in purgatory. You're not sure exactly where they are. Are they a Super Bowl-level team? Well, they've got Super Bowl-level talent. There's no question about that. There's guys on that team that are some of the best players at their position. But they keep shooting themselves in the foot in games like this. Like he said, like bring up any of those two playoff games against 49ers when it was Brock Purdy or Jimmy Garoppolo in the last two seasons. The mistakes, the errors, the ones that Dallas fans remember the most. That last series is a microcosm of some of the things that Dallas does when they're in big moments and under pressure.